Blog Talk Radio.
Claudia Jazz, your co-host, and welcome to the new Haish Educational Radio Show. And we also have Pamela today. Hi, Pamela. How are you doing?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Today we will be talking about financial tips for young adults. But before we start, we will be talking about the upcoming events. The next new Haish board meeting will be on July 23rd at 7 p.m. You can come to Pamela's home office. New board members may be approved. Also, Ladies' Night is potluck and pie day at Pamela's home office on August 10th at 5 p.m. Please bring a dish to share and, of course, a pie. Please RSVP by August 2nd and join us for a night of fun and relaxation. Again, to RSVP, please call us at 419-786-0247. Once more, 419-786-0247. Or you can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Okay, so today we will again be talking about financial tips for young adults. Pamela, would you like to say anything about that?
About the financial planning, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to do this show. I think it's important. I know as a homeschool mom, I always, you know, emphasize that credit cards were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you kind of stay away from those as much as you can. But, of course, that's a two-edged sword because a lot of times, you know, if you don't have any kind of credit history, you can't even get a car. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm excited about the topic, which I know you and Caden had chosen, so good topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very important, especially now. It's summertime, and people who have graduated are definitely looking for jobs and then also have to take care of their financial stuff, so I think it's really important. So let's start. So everyone can benefit from learning about money management and taking a more hands-on approach with their finances, young adults, including those just starting a career or a family, and others still in high school or college, have plenty to gain by learning to be smart about money and a lot to lose by making uninformed decisions. And you definitely have to make choices between the things you need versus the things you want. Like, for every dollar you spend on something you want, you could also, for every dollar you spend on something you want, you could also go do something that you need and starting a new job. So you should always first save up when you do start a new job instead of getting too excited and go spending your first paycheck. And also for young adults, even if you don't have or earn a lot of money, the financial decisions you make today can affect your lifestyle now and for many years to come, said Luke W. Reynolds, chief of the FDIC's Community Outreach Section. The good news is you don't need to be a finance expert to take a charge of your financial future, and a few basic concepts can go a long way. So for some tips to help you young adults get started on taking care of your financial is that this information was taken by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So the first tip is that to limit the amount of money in your wallet or purse and in your checking account so you're less likely to spend it. Only carry a credit card when you plan to use it. Also, do your best to limit regular living expenses such as food, transportation, and utilities. Build up an emergency savings fund you can use to pay for major unforeseen expenses. This can come very handy in times of difficulty, and it is always good to be prepared and to make a bit, and it makes a bit less to worry about when you have a situation. Also, while buying stuff online, you should be safe. Banking or conducting other personal businesses online can be a convenient way to help handle your finances, but you need to take precautions. You should install and automatically update antivirus software and firewall protection on your computer. You should never give social security number, credit or debit card numbers, personal identification numbers, or any other confidential information in response to any unsolicited email, text message, or phone call, regardless of who the source supposedly is. These days, a lot of people have been, they do buy online when they aren't available to go do it, like go buy it at the store. And it is a bit convenient, but you should always be safe, and you should read all the terms, and so you know where your money will be going to. Also,
yeah, I know that the older adults are usually, you know, seniors are usually victims of that kind of fraud, and you hear it all the time. Well, they had this information, they had that information, but then they give them the rest of the information they're asking for because they think that their bank or whatever is calling them, and it's always good. I mean, if you didn't solicit the call to hang up and call your institution or your credit card or company or whatever they're saying they're calling from, if they're trying to do that and calling them directly yourself from the number that's on your last bill, because a lot of people get in that kind of sticky situation where they give out their own information and then they get robbed from. And I know you had said about the building up an emergency savings fund.
Right.
That gets hard and harder to do for families that have children and so forth. So, I mean, it's a good habit for youth to get into before they have families. And I know from working with a lot of different youth, I mean, I just had one I was talking to this week that she was going to get her first paycheck and from a new job, and she's like, oh, I'm going to go shopping and just have fun, just, you know, blowing it, blah, blah, blah. I didn't say anything, of course. It wasn't my place to say anything. But and I can understand, you know, a young person, it was their first job and they want to do that. But, you know, you just got to be careful about that sort of thing and really plan. I guess I was never like that as a kid. When I was younger, I saved and I put everything in the bank. And I might have spent a little bit, like a 10 or 20% of my paycheck on something I really wanted. I would save for a while and then I would go get it. But the majority of the money I saved back in the day, but of course that gets hard as an adult.
Right. I mean, there's so many things now that are so advanced, and then everyone wants them because they're so cool looking.
Right. We're all guilty of that, just you.
Also, they're not all websites are, dangerous. Some of them, a lot of people use like eBay or Amazon. Those ones you can be a bit okay with because, you know, a lot of people use them. I know I have used them and I haven't experienced any problems with it. But sites that are unknown or you haven't heard of or you haven't heard anyone using them, you should be a bit more careful with that, and you should read up on it before actually putting in any information about yourself. So that is a lot common going on, so everyone should be careful about that, not just young adults. Also,
right.
Also, we would like to remind everyone that New Heights has its own library with curriculum, readers, audiovisual, and et cetera, for every grade level, and that you can borrow from our library, and we don't have some financial, we do have some financial resources, including From the is that video club?
Is it video club? Yeah.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah.
It says, "From poop to profits is more than a rags to riches story. It is a story of successful entrepreneurship, a primer on creative and innovative thinking." Also, Farmer Brad Morgan faced bankruptcy like many businesses across America. The Morgan family farm was challenged with high expenses and falling income. With his back to the wall, Morgan was faced to look at things from another perspective. They were spending over $20,000 yearly to dispose of manure. Could this expense be turned into a profit? Also, in his quest to capitalize on an untapped market, Morgan utilized many roles of successful entrepreneurship. He used resources already available, including raw materials, equipment, and personnel. He hired experts to help with when necessary, and he never accepted average. Now Brad Morgan has much larger goals than just making ends meet. Like all business owners, he is working to create lasting success while supplying customers with the best quality product on the market. Also, new Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, What We Do, lesson plan kit with 11-minute DVD and CD-ROM with entire lesson plan and two sets of flashcards and shredded money. That is a great way to, you know, practice your financial getting ready for it and everything. We have not personally watched these videos because of our library so large that we can't possibly read every book or watch every video and listen to every DVD. We will always suggest that parents review things before sharing with students or children that they have. Also, some fun, helpful websites for you to check out with your family or students are Financial Planning, which is mint.com. There's www.bbc.co.uk/schools. And there's also the online calculator, which is handy at quick use, which is www.ecalc.com. Now, for some fun facts that are common and that I think people should know. Some of them are that 93% of high school students who took a class on personal finance or money management said they were more likely to save. And nowadays in high school classes, they have more options of choosing business classes, money management classes. I'm not sure about the old times if they had much classes, but now they're beginning to develop many classes that students can take as an elective. Also, 3 out of 4 college students say that they made mistakes with their money when they first went to school. I think with their peers or student friends from school, they get persuaded into doing or buying things that other people have or watching that since their friends have something, then they think that they should too. So I think that also, you know, encourages them to sometimes waste their money on things. And then afterwards they think that, I don't think that was very important to buy it. And it was just that time being that it was popular, but then afterwards it's just, you know, garbage or maybe a waste of money.
And unfortunately the whole thing of You know, you want your kids to go to college and pursue what they want to pursue, but, you know, that whole thing is wrapped up into debt, too. And just to get into college, you know, they'll end up with lifetime debt that, you know, they think they can pay off or they hope they can pay off or they hope they'll come across a scholarship. And that's really, that's a hard time. I don't like seeing that happen, but, you know, we do offer assistance with scholarships. We have a large, very large database of scholarships already in place for about every career you can imagine. And I wish more people would use it and call us and because I think that, you know, they would be able to have more of their college covered than they think they could. But
all right.
you know, if people don't know, then they don't call. So, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also, those receipts that you get after buying some groceries, I think you should save them, because if you need to make an insurance claim, you have a much better chance of having it settled quickly and with the amount of cash you want if you have proof of purchase for things. So keep receipts and you know where to find them. And not just groceries, maybe it must be something big that you bought, and you always have proof to show that you did.
That's a good suggestion. I wouldn't have thought of that. I mean, for a kid, you know what I mean? For an adult, but it's a good tip.
Definitely, especially for, like, young adults, because I don't think they think twice on buying something or keeping their receipts. I'm sure adults, grown adults, do. But were you thinking?
Yep, you're a young adult yourself. And that's pretty impressive that you're thinking of this stuff, so.
Right. also, that each American household receives approximately 6 credit card offers per month. The typical response rate is, we get so many all the time, but, you know, how many can a person have? The typical response rate is 0.33%, which is 1/3 of 1%, barely anything. Nearly 2/3, which is 63% of Americans, acknowledge they don't save enough, and more than 1/3 say that they often, which is 11%, or sometimes, which is 25%, spend more than they can afford. More than 1 in 3, which is 36%, Americans also say that they have at some point in their lives felt their financial situation was out of control. And I think that starts when like you're young, and when you think about saving, then you can, I don't think you'll face as many financial situations which get out of control. But if you start saving a bit late, then I think it will be a bit difficult, and it would probably set some few problems ahead. And when you actually need the money, so let me see.
Yeah, I had come across some statistics recently, and they had said that most American families, I'm talking about household families, have at least $20,000 in credit card debt, and that's just in the state of Ohio. At least.
Wow.
I mean, that's not that's not the maximum. That's the majority of people in Ohio. And I just was like, wow, what are they spending all that on? I mean, we're not talking about car or house loans. We're talking about credit card debt. And I'm like, wow.
It's just credit card debt. I mean, you have so many other things that you might have debt on, and this is just a credit card. So
yeah. You pay it
That's
back. You never, ever. Yeah, it is. I couldn't believe it when I read it. I read it a couple of times because I was in shock.
Yes, and also, no matter how little it is, I think, I mean, my mom always says that you can't make a dollar without a cent adding to it. I mean, if you have 99 cents, you can never, have a dollar. So every little bit helps. Also,
you know, it's... sorry, but it's also hard for me to understand, because we have a lot of I have a lot of health issues, and I've had a lot of hospital debt, that kind of thing. And we're always, it seems like we've always been paying on that. But even with all that, we're not even close to the kind of, you know, what most households are in debt for. I mean, so that strikes me too, you know, as okay, if we're not even, you know, in debt by maybe even half of that, and then and we have, you know, a lot of health bills and stuff. So, you know what I mean? I just don't understand. It does show a whole mindset of, I got to have that, I want that, I want that, you know.
Definitely. Yes. Also, the average 21-year-old in the U.S. will spend more than 2.2 million in their lifetime. That's a lot to think
about. 2.2 million. Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's only when you're like 21. I mean, I wonder how much it will be if you, you know, if you're like a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old.
Right.
I think it will be a bit less, you know, because older people don't have as much as a, you know, feeling to buy almost everything that they see or is everything that looks nice to them. So I think they will have a bit less. But look at 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, 83% of college students have at least one credit card, and undergrads carry an average of three cards. But it's not like teens enroll in college with plastic in their pockets. Actually, 55% of students acquire their first credit card during their freshman year. On average, credit card companies extend credit lines between $500 and $3,000 to college students. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And I know that the college, what just your books for college, what are they usually, well, depending on how many classes you take, $1,000, $2,000. So really, if they needed it for books, if they needed it for books or something, they would be gone. I mean, they'd have the majority of that already spent just to get their book.
Exactly. I mean, there's books, and then there's, like, house, your food, and then there's class fees or test fees. So,
yeah. And I know that some colleges, usually they'll give you some kind of scholarship to cover books.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, you know, there's some don't, some do. But that's really interesting that you say up to 3,000 because, yeah.
And this is something that we can all relate to. I mean, I also sometimes have a coffee or like a latte drink every maybe 2 weeks, but not that often right now because I don't think I need it. But the daily latte or cappuccino or mocha costs, like, for a day it costs about $2.50 to $3.50. For 7 days or a week it costs $17.50. For a month it would probably cost $70. And this is, like, daily. And for, like, maybe, I think that's half a year, it would be $280. And for a year, it will be over $500 for just daily drinks that you need to have.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that. Because then, you know, you're thinking you're talking food, too, because you can't live off of those.
Right.
So, I mean, it's more expensive.
This is, like, daily drinks. I think they're referring to, like, one drink per day. But
yeah,
I've seen some people. My teachers, they, like, drink probably 3 or 4 cups a day, which is probably a lot for 1 year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, you double or triple that. So we're talking $1,000 to $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I know a lot of students will take those energy drinks. And I think... I don't know how much those cost.
Energy drinks are for teenagers, while coffee drinks are for adults. So I think that also would be the same for teenagers or young adults.
That is so hard to believe. I'm having a hard time with that one. I mean,
yes,
you know,
I mean,
because...
they're only coffee drinks. I mean, there's many things out there that we do daily which cost money, and then I wonder how much they are per year. Also, instead of like buying one every day, you can make your own and all, you know, personalize however you want to make it, how many of sugar teaspoons you want, and make. By the time you graduate from a 4-year degree program, you will have saved over $2,000 in coffee beverages. So I think that's a lot. I mean,
yeah, that's
I'm not saying that. Also, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy, like, drinks from the cafe. You should. I mean, it's also nice to have that once in a while, and it feels good. And maybe you should narrow it down to like a couple of drinks per week instead of having so many drinks a day. It might also, like, you know, cause a bit of health problems. I'm not sure, but I think it can.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, anything, you know, too much of a good thing, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely. Yeah.
I know I'm allergic to a lot of that stuff because they put milk in a lot of it, and I'm allergic to milk, mm-hmm. and I'm allergic to soy, so that takes those out of the equation for me. But they sure do look good, so I could see that, you know, these kids mm-hmm. that, you know, oh, gosh, you know, they're carrying around these drinks that mm-hmm. look so stinking pretty, and then you want one, and then...
Definitely.
All right. So you live in Washington, right?
Yes, I live in Washington.
I mean, I
and
wonder...
And we have the Starbucks here, so everyone loves to get... In Washington, we got the Starbucks, and, like, it's everywhere. You can find them around the block, and many teenagers, young adults, or even kids, and older adults love going there, and I see it, like, it's always packed. So, because they do give great drinks, and it's kind of hard to avoid, but you should also think about your saving.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering, you know, if what I had learned when I seen that a statistic recently about Ohio families mm-hmm. in debt of like 1,000 at least and higher, I wonder what that is in Washington, because you hear that, you know, Washington, I believe, I hope I'm not wrong about this because I don't want to say anything that's not true, but somebody could check it out. It's called research, mm-hmm. so look it up. But
yeah.
I believe that Washington is one of the number one states that have, you know what, now I'm thinking of Washington, D.C., number one state for homelessness.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Washington, D.C. I don't know why I was thinking. Okay, but I don't know what yours there in the state of Washington, because I'm thinking Maryland, and I'm not. Okay, forget what I was saying. But it's interesting.
Right. I was like, I'm located in Seattle. So.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Caught me there for a second. I was just thinking Washington, and I was like, no, she's in the state of Washington, and I'm thinking Washington, D.C., Maryland. So there you go.
For young adults, I think there are definitely plans that are made so then they can start saving right when they're young, and then when they're older, they can look back and see that how much they have saved, and then they can use it for something else. Research that the federal, just a minute here, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, they have a financial education program where they, it's a curriculum to address both the needs of young adults and also elementary school students. And it's like, it helps, and they help ages between 12 to 20. The basics of handling money and finances. So you could always check it out at fdic.gov. Also, thank you, Pamela, for being here and talking about these financial tips. I mean, it's really important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're going to announce on next week's show, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Our next week's show will be on tips on teaching and engaging students in So thank you, Pamela, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. So hope to see you soon. Bye.
Bye.